Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal court of appeals accepts Liberty University's appeal. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, you know, we've been mentioning this case all along, and this is really, I believe, a setup where this man was working at Liberty University, a Christian university, yet he had been taking hormones even before he started working there. Then he wanted to be called a woman and be recognized as a woman.
Yeah, for 4 months he had been taking hormones before he applied. When he applied, he signed off on the doctrinal statement, which is very, very specific. One of the more specific ones that you will have encountered, because it not only says that we are created in the image of God, male and female, it specifically says that, but to identify as anything other than your birth sex is a sin. He signs off on that, goes through the 90-day probationary period, and once that has expired, he comes in and he says, oh, by the way, I want to be called Eleanor, no longer by his male name. I want to be known as Eleanor, and I'm taking these hormones, and I'm going through this quote-unquote transition. So Jonathan now wants to be Eleanor. He wants to be identified as a female. He knows very well that that violates the Liberty University doctrinal statements and policies regarding the biblical understanding of sex and gender.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets terminated. So then he files a lawsuit with the help of the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. Then we go to a district court. Senior Judge Norman Moon is the judge in Lynchburg, Virginia, where the lawsuit is filed. Liberty Counsel is representing Liberty University in this case. And we ask for the case to be dismissed without having to go through any more discovery and to dismiss it based upon pure legal grounds at this stage. The judge declines to dismiss it, but what the judge does is point out that there are certain issues that we have raised that are of first impression, meaning that they have not been directly decided by the Court of Appeals, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that sits in Richmond, nor have they been directly decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. So he notes that there are first of the kind arguments that we have raised that need to be resolved, but he doesn't have the guidance from the courts to resolve it. So he errs on the side of not granting the motion to dismiss, but he makes these statements. So this case now is what's called an interlocutory. It's in between. It's not a final order. If you have a final order on something, then you can appeal it as of right. But if it's not a final order, if it's a motion to dismiss, and that motion to dismiss is denied, then what happens? Well, litigation pursues. You file an answer to the complaint. You go through discovery. You go through perhaps a trial. You go through summary judgment. You do other things to bring it to a final order. But in this case, there's been no discovery yet, and there's been no litigation other than this motion to dismiss. So it's at a temporary stage. So what happens? The problem that you have from a legal standpoint is Liberty University would get drugged through months and months and years of litigation, and then finally, at the end of all of that, be able to win based upon constitutional issues, and the damage has already been done because you've already expended that time. We have asked the lower court and the Court of Appeals to get involved now, because there are certain controlling legal issues that would resolve the case. The judge agreed below, and so he certified to the Court of Appeals the question of Title VII, giving an exemption to Liberty University and religious employers in Sections 702 and 703 that would end the case. If Liberty University had an exemption as a religious employer regarding LGBTQ issues here in employment, then the case is over. We don't need to go any further. and the lower court certified that question. We also asked the Court of Appeals, in addition to that, to take the other matters, and that is the First Amendment protects Liberty University from a ministerial exception perspective, and the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act should also protect Liberty University. And now what happened here is the Federal Court of Appeals agreed, and so all three things are now going to be argued at the Court of Appeals: the First Amendment, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and Title VII. I know that's a long overview, but that's kind of the legal landscape as to what recently developed. This is a good development, and now everything, all the legal issues, will be litigated at the Court of Appeals, and then perhaps even right after that to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, like I said earlier, this is obviously a setup. This man, Jonathan Zinsky, could have easily gotten a job at a secular university, at a secular business, but he has chosen to use one of the largest Christian universities as a test case, I believe, to push this LGBTQ agenda when Liberty University does not hide their doctrine, does not hide their mission statement. You can go on their website and see that. So it's not a secret what they believe and what they stand for. So for someone who does not believe that to come and fool them, lie to get a job there, that's totally a setup.
It's a setup. And this is a warning and an example to other churches, Christian employers, nonprofit organizations, and even businesses for profit that are operated by Christian owners and operators, to make sure that your documents, your handbook, and your policies, even your job descriptions, specifically address your Christian doctrinal belief. Liberty University was set up in a good situation. Their doctrinal statement and policies are very clear on this particular issue.
Right, and they would not have hired this guy knowing what he was going to do.
And this guy, Jonathan Zinsky,
knew that.
He knew that when he applied, because he had to sign off and read these documents. And he signs off, so he lies.
Right.
And so those are put out there. They're not a surprise. They're on their website. They're in their handbook. They're in their policies. They're part of the employment process. He signs off on all that. So I would encourage churches, nonprofit organizations, and also Christian-owned and operated businesses to get your handbook in order and to get your policies in order and in your hiring process to make sure that is clearly known, particularly if you're a nonprofit.
Right, and make sure you watch this case, because this is going to set a precedent for other Christian organizations, churches, universities, etc.
And that's the exact reason why this was set up. They took on the nation's largest Christian university, Liberty University, to take it down. And the ACLU is involved in it. So it was a setup from the very beginning. Their intent is to target Liberty. And if they win, what would happen? That would mean Jonathan Zinsky's or the others, whoever they might be, those people who want to undermine Liberty University's doctrinal statement would be able to alter that doctrinal statement. So imagine, for example, say if Jonathan wins this case, Liberty has a doctrinal statement that says you're created in the image of God, male and female, and that's a sin to identify as something other than how God created you. Mm-hmm. Now that's what they put on everybody else, and particularly their students as well as their staff. But now you get an exemption for other people who say, well, I don't want to live like that, and I want to openly defy that doctrinal statement and get paid by this Christian university for working here, and I'm an open, obvious, rebellious defiance of that doctrinal statement. And in this particular case, Jonathan Zinsky would actually be working with students as well as staff and faculty, because he would work in the IT department, and the IT works directly with students, faculty, and staff. I know that because when I was dean of Liberty University School of Law, that's what IT does. You can call them, you can talk to them, but you can also communicate directly with them through your computer, where they're actually having access and fixing things on your computer that are malfunctioning. So you can go down, you can take your computer there. You know, it's an IT place. And they're having direct access to the students. And so now a student comes in, and this person is Jonathan, now they're Eleanor. What does that message send to the students?
Right.
Liberty's got a double standard.
But aside from all that, he signed an agreement, I believe, in this doctrine, in order to be hired, knowing that he did not and knowing that he would get fired.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why he did it, mm-hmm. so that he would set him up. If he had been truthful, he would have never signed the employment application.
Absolutely. And he would have gone somewhere else to get a job.
He'd go someplace else. There wouldn't be any issue here.
Right.
But this is the litigation that is critically important to watch. We're representing Liberty University. We will be filing our brief in July. So continue to pray for this case because it has a huge implication and could be one that makes it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.